Hey, everybody. Welcome to the First Samuel Audio Devotional Podcast. Man, it's almost done. Can you believe it? I am Steve Durr, and I am here with my main man, Noah Tenhagen. He's back in the saddle.
What's up?
Noah, you doing good?
I'm doing all right.
Can you believe we're at the last chapter of this first book of Samuel?
It's definitely been a journey.
Today we hear the end of Saul, and it's a bit sad, but Noah's going to read our passage from 1 Samuel chapter 31, the last chapter, and it goes from verse 1 to verse 13.
All right, first I just want to pray for us, just have the Lord come in and speak through us through his word. Lord, I thank you today for bringing us here together to record a podcast that a lot of people can hear about your word, and we pray that you will speak very clearly through it and help us pull your original intention out of it so that we may better learn your character and what you expect and how we can more faithfully serve you. All this in your name we pray. Amen. 1 Samuel 31. Now the Philistines attacked Israel, and the men of Israel fled before them. Many were slaughtered on the slopes of Mount Gilboa. The Philistines closed in on Saul and his sons, and they killed three of his sons, Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua. The fighting grew very fierce around Saul, and the Philistine archers caught up with him and wounded him severely. Saul groaned to his armor-bearer, "Take your sword and kill me before these pagan Philistines come to run me through and taunt and torture me." But his armor-bearer was afraid and would not do it, so Saul took his own sword and fell on it. When his armor-bearer realized that Saul was dead, he fell on his own sword and died beside the king. So Saul, his three sons, his armor-bearer, and his troops all died together that same day. When the Israelites on the other side of Jezreel Valley and beyond the Jordan saw that the Israelite army had fled and Saul and his sons were dead, they abandoned their towns and fled. So the Philistines moved in to occupy their towns. The next day, when the Philistines went out to strip the dead, they found the bodies of Saul and his three sons on Mount Gilboa. So they cut off Saul's head and stripped him of his armor. Then they proclaimed the good news of Saul's death to their pagan temple and to the people throughout the land of Philistia. They placed his armor in the temple of the Ashtoreth, and they fastened his body to the wall of the city of Bethshan. But when the people of Jabesh Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, all of their mighty warriors traveled through the night to Bethshan and took the bodies of Saul and his sons down from the wall. They brought them to Jabesh, where they burned the bodies. Then they took their bones and buried them beneath the tamarisk tree at Jabesh, and they fasted for 7 days.
Battle gone wrong, right?
That's a deep one.
So what in the world do you do with a story like this? This doesn't feel like one of those edifying, like the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, patience.
No, it's very dark.
What do you kind of take out of this? The end of Saul, he's been on quite a journey throughout this whole book. And really, 1 Samuel is, you know, part one of this wider, just one book called Samuel, divided into 1 and 2 Samuel. But at the end of the story, we've got Saul dying, and now we have the rise of David. But looking back on this story and or throughout this whole 1 Samuel book, what are some things that kind of caught your attention either today or throughout this time?
So when I was doing my thinking on this on the way over here, and I kind of came to the conclusion that Saul's life, like, he started out with such great hope, like he could have done such good. He was, in the people's eyes, the perfect leader. However, once he had got those first few wins following God's word, he got this sort of, I can do this. And he kind of rejected God, turned towards the people and what the world expected of him. And that's kind of where things all started to go wrong. And here we see at the end, if you look back just a couple of verses, Saul is told he is going to meet his end this day. And yet he still doesn't have any sort of repentant heart.
Saul is killed along with Jonathan, mm-hmm. and, you know, his son. And in some ways, we're kind of giving him a little bit of a eulogy here, right? Like
yeah.
a little celebration, or maybe not so much of a celebration, maybe a caution of life instead yeah. of a celebration
yeah.
of life.
Here's what we should learn.
What do you learn from this guy? We just were reminded that he became king when he was 30 years old, and he ruled for
42 years.
42 years, which meant when he died on that hillside, 72-year-old guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so we're not...
We're not talking about some young king who's being foolish with everything.
Right. He's a seasoned pro.
Mm-hmm.
But what we see in his life, there's this kind of lack of humility, it feels like, whether it's born of insecurity or fear that someone was going to take the kingship from his family. There's kind of a lack of reflection to say, you know, I'm wrong here.
Yeah.
And being willing to repent and change direction. What is kind of been a takeaway for you in the midst of this series?
So for as much as Saul has his faults, looking over at David, he's not necessarily perfect either. And the key difference between the two is David has this unfailing trust in God that even when, yeah, it makes all sorts of sense to, on multiple occasions, kill Saul here and end the issue, David says, the Lord has told me not to touch him. I am not going to touch him. Saul, on the other hand, going back to when he defeats the Amalekites, the Lord told him, don't take prisoners. And what does he do? He takes prisoners. He takes plunder. And the Lord was like, well, you did what I wanted to do, but you didn't do it the way I told you to do it. And it brings a vicious cycle where you reap the benefits of doing things your way, which are not benefits at all. They're generally pretty bad.
Sure.
And then you don't put yourself in a state of humility to realize I've done bad, and a repentant state then to go back to God and say, I'm going to do it right. This is Saul's kind of vicious cycle.
So, yeah, he puts himself in some pretty hard situations.
Then. Yeah.
And then, like you said, when he's confronted by Samuel, he doesn't you know, respond.
I did everything right.
Yeah, right.
It was the people.
Yeah, right. Kind of pass the buck, pass the blame. You know what's really interesting? You know, right at the beginning of 2 Samuel, like you turn the page, Saul's dead, his boys are dead, they're buried under the tree. It's time for David to rise to become king. We hear the next part of the story, and I'm just going to highlight it real quick, because David hears about the death from a young man who runs from the battle to David. Bows low, says, the troops fled from the battle. Many of the soldiers have fallen and died. And what's more, Saul and his son Jonathan have also died. And David's like, well, how do you know? How do you know? And this young man said, I was on the mountain and Saul was there. He was leaning on his spear. The enemy was closing in on him. He turned around. He saw me. He called to me. And I said, yes, sir. And he said, who are you? And he asked, and I told him, look at this. I'm an Amalekite. We'll come back to that in a second. Please come over here and kill me, Saul said, because convulsions have come over me, but I'm still alive. So he's in his final death throes, and he's like, please show me mercy. Please end it for me. And the young man does. But what's really fast, and then David's furious with this guy for doing it because he touched the Lord's anointed, and he killed this guy. But this young man who claimed to have finally ended Saul's life was an Amalekite, the very people he was supposed to completely wipe out. And it's just, again, we see that name pop up time after time along different ways. They're like a little thorn in the side of this whole story. So when David hears all this stuff, he grabs his clothes, he tore them. All his soldiers did the same, and they mourned and cried and fasted for Saul and Jonathan because they died by the sword. Again, David, like you said, he had every reason to hate Saul. He had every reason to
want him dead.
Want him dead, and yet here he is mourning. Yeah, I thought that was fascinating.
It's an interesting sense of mourning, to like mourn that person's death and everything that they were and everything that they could have been, but also see the Lord working through it. It brings in a sort of sense of the Lord definitely doesn't always work through things that work out in what seemed to be a good favor. And we have such a twisted sense of what is good that sometimes we lose sense of what is good in the Lord's sight.
Yeah. So God, what God might call good, we might not consider good, right? Yeah, that's a good point. So we're wrapping up this final thing. How about you give us a final kind of practical encouragement from this?
Don't be like Saul.
Don't be like Saul. Yeah, unfortunately, it feels like that, right? So
it's important to take the time, and I often find myself doing this is asking myself, especially on those sins that I know are repetitive and kind of
get in a cycle
habitual,
of, yeah, right.
is try to find the place in my heart to bring myself down and bring myself to humility before the Lord.
So you're talking about sometimes you get in those patterns of behavior that you're like, okay, this is damaging. Maybe it's something I know I shouldn't be doing, or something that is a good thing even, that is taking too much of your time, too much of your whatever, becoming an idol, whatever.
Yes.
So you sense some kind of a sinful thing, like you're feeling guilty about it. You're feeling some conviction about it. So what kind of posture do you have in that situation? Do you get defensive?
No, instead of being defensive, you need to be open to the Lord with it.
So when you are open with the Lord, what does that typically look like? Is that just talking to God or admitting
it? For me, it tends to be a lot of prayer. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Oh, yeah, like the Jesus prayer.
The Jesus prayer, yeah. Right? Just like bowing down, admitting that I alone am not enough and that I need God, I need Jesus to make myself into a person who is good. I need that sort of washing, purifying water.
Yeah, that's really good. I like that. That reminds me of 1 John 1:9, where it says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You just described that. That's awesome. So I like that, though, like that idea of going to God, depending on him and saying, I can't do it. I need you.
Because yes.
It would be easy. I don't know. Do you ever feel this way? Like, I'm just going to work harder at being better.
Yeah. And that never works.
It doesn't work, does it? Right?
You work hard at being better, and then you burn yourself out on being better.
Right. And at the end of the day, you're putting your hope and trust in yourself first and foremost.
Yeah.
That isn't to say we don't have effort. Of course, yes. We have effort. And so God's grace is opposed to earning, not effort.
Yeah.
Yes, we join God in it, but we don't earn anything by doing it. Yeah, that's good. Well, would you close us out, Noah? And then tomorrow we got our last final podcast, but this is the last one going through a chapter. So do we take us home?
Yeah, I can.
Thanks.
Lord, we thank you for Samuel. Lord, we thank you for Saul. We thank you for David. We thank you for the people who have written it down for us. Lord, we pray that you will solidify these teachings and help bring people back to them to discover things that they might have not seen before, and maybe read even farther into this kind of saga of the house of David and everything else going on in this era of time in your story. Lord, we pray that we will learn from your story so that we may continue your story in your will. All this in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I like that. The continue to learn from your story so we can continue your story in your will. That's good. I like that. That's a good promise and a good way to go out today. Have a great day.
What's up?